Today is Zion. It's 18 days.
Okay. Gives us a little taste of preparing for Chanukah. If anyone's free at this time, but other days of the week.
Need one here.
Okay then.
Got it. Yeah.
So without further ado, we want to learn a little hashkafa for Parshas Vayetze. And the topic of this particular session of this learning shiur is going to be the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa and the relationship between the two. And as you know, we were put here on this earth primarily to face the challenges of the Yetzer HaRa, and the question is how to face those challenges. The key word for our purpose in today, you know, every Shia has sort of a code word to it. The code word in this case is the Evan, is the stone. And at the very beginning of the parsha, the Torah says about Yaakov Avinu, when he's on his way out of Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayikach me'avnei ha'mokom. He takes from the stones of the place. Okay, and he puts it under his head. And Vayishkav ba'mokom ahu. Now, in another shiur that I gave this week, the word makom was the secret password, but that's a different shiur. In any event, Rashi says that there was a battle here between the avnei hamakom. Now, the word avnei is in plural. Now, what's the minimum amount that makes up a plural?
Two.
So there were at least two stones over there, and they were fighting between them. And we'll see what those stones represent. You could already guess as we go along what each of those stones represent. But there's now a battle, a conflict between these two stones. Zoso Meres, one wants the tzaddik to put his head on me, and the other one says, "Put the tzaddik on, let the tzaddik rest his head on me." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu joins together these two avonim until they become Evan Achas. Now, you know, this whole story sounds a little bit banal, a little bit prosaic. You know, why do we have to know about the fighting of the stones and then they become one stone? And the plot goes even thicker, because the pasuk says that when Yaakov wakes up, it's Vayikach es ha'evan. All of a sudden it becomes one evan. So the Torah now deliberately changes the grammatical structure from the first pasuk, which is in plural, the avnei hamakom, to the second pasuk, when Yaakov wakes up, to evan. Not only that, if you want to go even a step further, Yaakov Avinu takes that evan and he pours oil over that evan, and he designates it as a mizbeach for Hashem. And this also seems to indicate that there's something very important about this evan. Now the Gemara in Chulin, which you'll see on the second paragraph, says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, Sheniskabtsu kol osam avonim l'makom echad. So it seems that Rashi is basing himself on this statement of the Gemara in Chulin in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and this Niskabtsu. Now you and I know that what the modern state of Israel is famous for many things, but one of the things that the state of Israel is famous for, and even before the state of Israel, are the kibbutzim, correct? And niskabtsu is a conjugation of the noun kibbutz. And kibbutz again indicates when you have a society that's made up of many different individual members, but they join together to form an entity, perhaps a socialist entity in the case of a kibbutz, but nevertheless an entity. In fact, one of the 13 brachos that we recite at supplication on a daily basis, three times a day, is what? Mekabetz nidche amo Yisrael. So this word kibbutz, which Rabbi Yitzchak uses in the context of the conjoining of these avonim, seems to be a very significant word. Now, let's read the pasuk, which you'll see in the third paragraph. As you know, the psukim are always, or any quotations are always in bold print, and that's what we usually read in shiur together, is the bold print. It says, "Vayashkem Yaakov baboker, vayikach es ha'evan." Again, now it's singular, as we said before, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu did this miracle, and he joined together the avonim to form one. "Vayasem oso matseva," and he designates it as a matseva. Okay? Now we're going to see that Chazal identify this Evan as not just a regular Matseva, but this is going to be the Evan upon which the Aron of the Shtei Luchos of Bris is going to rest. Anybody know what that Evan is called? The Evan Shasiya. Excellent. Vayitzok Shemen al Rosha. So again, you know, if we go back to the history of these Avonim, these are two Avonim that are fighting over over the Tzaddik. Hashem does a miracle and unites them. Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he finds this Evan. He realizes that this is a makom, this is a very holy place, and he designates that Evan for what will become the Evan Shasiya. Because where is Avram, where is Yaakov Avinu located at this point in his life? He's located at the Makom HaMikdash, and that's going to be the Sulam of Beiskel. You know, and Yaakov, when he went to sleep, he says he didn't know it was a holy place, but it is a very holy place. So the pasuk describes Yaakov's neder, and he knows that he's leaving the warmth and the security and the insulation of Be'er Sheva, his parents' home. He's on his way to who knows, based love on what's going to happen over there. And he turns to Hashem and he takes upon himself a neder. And he says, God, if you'll be with me, if you'll protect me, if you'll give me lechem lechol, v'lechem lilbosh, and I'll come back to my father's home and you'll be my God, then this Evan, again, the third time now in the parasha we're talking about this Evan, asher samti matseva yeh beis Elokim, that will be the beis HaMikdash. The whole foundation of the beis HaMikdash is this Evan. You know, it's almost as if Yaakov Avinu is the builder of the beis HaMikdash. It's a mind-boggling concept. We're going to soon see that this Evan is the Evan that creates worlds, both this world and the next world. We'll see that this Evan represents the connection between the Jewish people down here on this earth and God up in heaven. We're going to see that this Evan represents a total integration of the creative powers of God, and the Evan will represent, as we'll soon see, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara and the relationship between the two. All this can be understood in the light of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Let's just say a few words about the Arachayim. How many centuries ago did he live? You all know?
Five?
No? You didn't see my hand? Okay. I was waving my hand. I thought that would be enough. He lived 5 centuries ago. And you all know what city he lived in?
Tzfat,
oh good, okay, everybody knows that. He was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef in Tzfat. He was a contemporary of the Arizal. He was a great philosopher and a great commentary he wrote a great commentary on the Torah. And he writes that this concept that Yaakov Avinu dedicates this Evan as a Beis Elokim, Yiroi Li, it seems to me that this Evan is the Evan Shasiya. And this Evan Shasiya is going to be the Evan with which God creates worlds. And he quotes a Mishnah in the middle of Masechet Yoma. The Mishnah says that the Kodesh Kadoshim had in it, of course, the Aron, and the Evan Haisa Shamimos Neviim Rishonim Ushasiya Haisa Nikre. So from the time of the early Rishonim, that Evan was there. And again, the Aron of the Luchos HaBris rested on that Evan, and the Zohar says explicitly, again, we could only know this from the Archaim HaKadosh, that the Evan Azosa Shasamti Matseva, Yia Beis Elokim Dida is the Aramaic for saying, this is the Evan Shasiya. So the Evan that Yaakov rests his head upon, and the Evan that Yaakov designates as a Matseva, is in fact the Evan Shasiya, which is the foundation of the entire Beis HaMikdash. Now, if you go to the Harabayas today, I'm not recommending that you do, but if you do, I guess we have 2 copies of page 2. I don't know how that happened, but if anyone needs, oh, good, there's one more going once, going twice, okay. And if you ever go there, which I'm not recommending that you do, because there are all sorts of Isurei Kares that might be involved, but if you go there, you'll see a gigantic stone. And that's why they call it the Dome of the Rock, the cousins. And that's probably the Evan Shasiya, or at least down below is the Evan Shasiya. And imagine, we're looking at a place today that for generations we couldn't even imagine looking at, and that place had the Aron of the Shtei Luchas Avris on top of it. And that was the Evan that Yaakov Avinu designated for the Beis HaMikdash, to become eventually the Beis HaMikdash. So let me ask a few questions, just so that, if you don't mind.
Where are you in the text?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you where I am in the text in just a minute, but first we have to ask a question, because this is going to be the main focus, the focal point of today. What does it mean when two Avonim are fighting in a conflict, and each one is declaring, Olai Yoniach Tzadik Es Rosho, let the Tzadik rest himself upon me. What underlies this battle, this conflict between these two Avonim? We're attributing to these two stones almost human characteristics, as if they were live, animated beings. And each one is battling for the opportunity that Olai Yoniach Tzadik Es Rosho. And this is a great miracle when Hashem combines these two Avonim together. What is the deeper message here, below the surface, of these two stones fighting for the opportunity to have the tzaddik place his head on the stone? And what is the meaning of this great miracle? What message is it telling us for all eternity, that God fuses together the two stones? And not only that Yaakov Avinu designates the new stone, which is a combination of the original two stones, which is the Eben Shesia, according to the Or Chaim HaKadosh, as the base of Migdash and the Kodshei Kadoshim. So I'm going to answer questions now, but first let me tell you where we're up to in the text. On the first page of your four pages, there are three columns. Is that correct? Can you find the middle column? Great. And if you find the middle column, you'll find the bottom of the middle column. And you'll see something about Adam HaRishon. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, now any questions so far? Because again, I'm on a roll, because again, I want to get to a certain point in which we can really, if we make it to the finish line, we'll begin to understand the wonder of these two stones fighting and battling for Yaakov. What? Yeah, go ahead. There is a question.
I didn't get a chance.
Now's a good chance.
About Yaakov's condition. He's saying to God, if you do this to me, you'll be my God.
That's another shiur, not for today. You're right. I mean, the Yaakov Avinu seems to be playing a funny kind of game with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, let's have a tit for tat over here. You're right. That's another shiur. I didn't give that shiur this week. I think I gave it last year, but you could listen to a recording if you ever get a chance. Anyway, what happened at the time of Adam HaRishon? And as we go along, you're going to see a profound connection between Adam HaRishon and Yaakov Avinu. We're going to see that Yaakov Avinu is the perfection of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon had all the potential to reach perfection, but he messed up. And Yaakov Avinu didn't mess up. So we're going to see as we go along. Now, if you take a look on the top left, you'll see that from the time... Okay, wait, let's go slowly here. What day of the week was Adam HaRishon created on?
Friday.
On a Friday. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, on Motzei Shabbos, Adam HaRishon makes Havdalah, so to speak. Now, in order to make Havdalah, what do you need?
Fire.
A fire. Okay? And who is the first person to create fire? It was Adam HaRishon. He creates fire on Motzei Shabbos. And Chazal want to tell us exactly how many hours it was from the time that Adam HaRishon was born until he finally made the fire on Motzei Shabbos. And the key number here is 36. So you'll take a look on the top left and you'll see the following. That on this Friday of the creation of Adam HaRishon, 12 hours pass until Shabbos enters. Okay? Motzi Shabbos is going to be 24 hours later. So if you add 24 and 12, you get what? 36. That's good. Now, who is Adam HaRishon? I don't mean who, but I mean the greatness of Adam HaRishon. Chazal say that in the original creation of Adam HaRishon, he was a perfect ideal being. He could see me sofa olam ad sofa. In other words, the supernal eternal light of divinity was clear to him, was in front of his eyes. However, he lost that on that critical Friday of his birth, when he sinned, but Shabbos came in. And when Shabbos entered, there was the light of Shabbos. So although he didn't have that original light, but for another 24 hours, he lived in the light of Shabbos, the spiritual light of Shabbos. Now Shabbos ends, 36 hours into the life of Adam HaRishon, and it's absolutely dark. And Adam HaRishon becomes overwhelmed with fear. And it's interesting that the fear of Adam HaRishon is of the Nachash HaKadmoni. And again, if you're on the left column, in the middle of the top paragraph, you will see the bold print. And in the middle there, you'll see a pasuk in the third chapter of Bereishis. It says, "Hu yishufach rosh v'atot shufenu ekev." Shema says Adam HaRishon, "Balan Ashcheni." Maybe the serpent is coming back to bite me in this darkness. And at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle on behalf of Adam HaRishon, and he provides him with two stones, two re'afim. Or if anybody knows the Kashitsky family from Toronto, you know what re'afim are. Re'afim are shingles, I think we call it in English. In any event, they're made of stone. And Adam HaRishon somehow, through some divine inspiration, discovers fire, or the way to create fire. He kishon zelozeh, and he rubs them one against the other, and then he creates the fire. And this is a fulfillment of Havdalah, of borei mioreo esh. Shmuel says in the Gemara in Shabbos that the reason why, the reason why we recite the brach of borei mioreo esh, the creation of fire on Motzei Shabbos, is because the first individual to create the fire was whom? Adam HaRishon. And when? On Motzei Shabbos. Now, although that quote on the top left is from the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Psachim, which is on the previous column at the bottom, adds another phrase that doesn't appear in the Gemara in Brachos. And it says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon the inspiration to create the fire, and it says, Me'ein Dugma Shalmala. So you may want to underline those four words in the Gemara Psachim, which is at the bottom of the middle column, on the third line in that paragraph. It says, Me'ein Dugma Shalmala, which sounds like this fire is something down on earth with mirror images, the fire up in Shamayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to Adam HaRishon two avonim, two stones. He grinds them together and he creates the light of the fire. And this is going to be our, says Shmuel, our observance on Motzei Shabbos, week in and week out, of reciting the bracha of borei mioreo esh, because Adam HaRishon on Motzei Shabbos created that fire, created that light. Me'ein Dugma Shalmala. In other words, we're talking about something which is more than just physics. We're talking about what we call metaphysics. And somehow, in that Eish, there's something inherent that's Ke'ein Dugma Shalmala. That's the Gemara in Masechta Psachim. So now, we're going to take a look at an insight of the Tzanzer Rebbe. Okay, Reb Chaim Tzanzer. Do we have any descendants or relatives who Tzanzer Hasidim here? To Kloisenberg Tzanz? No? Okay, no representatives. If you've ever heard of Reb Osher Zelig Weiss, is very popular today. He's a Tzanzer. Just to give you an example, there's a tremendous emphasis amongst Tzanzer Hasidim on learning, on Torah learning, on Torah Shebal Peh. There's something called a Mifal HaShas, if you've ever heard it. That if you take their exams on a regular basis, you get paid for that. There's a tremendous amount of funds that are spent to encourage young men. I have a cousin, my wife's cousin, who's a Tzanzer. He's a Kloisenberger Chassid. At the age of 18, he was tested on half of Shas, all because of this Mifal HaShas of the Tzanzer Kloisenberger Chassid. You may have heard of the Kloisenberger Rebbe, who survived the war miraculously. He was a broken person. I mean, can't begin to tell you what he lost in his own family. And he created 10 institutions here in the state of Israel, each for one of the names of his children that perished in the Holocaust. In any event, he is a descendant of Reb Chaim Tzanzer. You know, I'm a little bit of a book collector. To get a first copy of the Divrei Chaim of the Tzanzer Rebbe, forget it. Unless you're a millionaire, you won't be able to afford it. Chassidish Sfarim go very hard today. In any event, when I mean Chassidish Sfarim, I mean first editions. In any event, what does the Tzanzer Rebbe say? Now, this Torah of the Tzanzer Rebbe, you will never find in any of his writings. It was passed on by tradition, as an oral tradition, by his disciples. And what Chassidus is great at, is unbelievable at, is looking at a pasuk and dipping below the surface of the pasuk. And here's a wonderful example of what Chassidus insights into Torah are all about. In Parshas Ki Teitze, when the Torah wants to warn us about not entering into a scandalous misrepresentation of our goods, of our products that we sell on the market, and they used to use scales that are made out of stones, and they would put one stone on one side, another stone on another side, they would add the produce and they would weigh it. So the Torah warns us in Dvarim Perek Chaf Hey, and we're now at the bottom of the left column, it says, Lo yelecha bekischa even the even gedola uktana. Now, don't switch a larger even for another even. So you have these two stones that are used as weights and scales, and now you might cheat someone. Now let's look at the way Reb Chaim Tzanzer sees a deeper meaning in this command. Again, please keep in mind, be very careful. He's not coming to exclude the simple meaning of the text and the requirement, but on a deeper level. He quotes a Medrash. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Kruya Evan, Es Luchos HaEvan, right? The Torah is called an Evan. But Yetzer Hara Kari Evan, even the evil incarnation is called an Evan. And there it says, in a pasuk in Yechezkel, Vaseirosi es lev ha'even mibsarchem. God says, I will remove that very heavy heart that's made of stone from your flesh. So what does this mean? The word even, the word stone, which I told you is our password for today, our code word, has two meanings which seem to be at the face of it diametrically opposed one to the other. The Torah is called the Evan, the Eitz Hara is called the Evan. And the Medrash concludes with four words. Ha-Evan Tishmar Es Ha-Evan. The first Evan is the Evan of Torah, the second is the Evan of the Eitz Hara, and the controlling, dominating force is going to be the first Evan that somehow is going to connect with the second Evan. How is that so? Says the Tzanzer Rebbe, there are two ways and two approaches to how to face the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is a very powerful force, but thank God we have another Evan. Connected, corresponding to the Evan of the Yetzer Hara, we have the Evan of Torah, which represents what? The Yetzer Tov. Now you'll turn to page 2, or the flip side of page 1. He says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to serve God with both our hearts, right? Bechol, what's the next word? Levavcha, b'shnei yitzrecha. And somehow, we have to use the Yetzer HaTov together with the Yetzer HaRa in some sort of a harmonious fusion. On one level, you can just banish the Yetzer HaRa. You could just conquer it and reject it and send it into exile if you're successful in that encounter. But on a higher level, and a more profound level, it's not that you banish the Yetzer Hara and send it into exile and completely reject it, but rather you connect with the Yetzer Hara. You serve God with both the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, when the pasuk says to us, Lo Yelecha, that you shouldn't have Evan v'Evan. One Evan is the Evan Gedola, which presumably is the Yetzer HaTov, because that we give the significance. The other is the Evan Ketana, which is the Yetzer Hara. No, no, no. Says the Torah, the ultimate goal is to have one Evan. And therefore the end of that same pasuk says, Evan Shlema Yelecha. Evan Shlema means one complete Evan. That one complete Evan is a fusion of the two smaller Avonim, one of which is greater than the other, and those are the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa. And this means what Shlomo Melech tells us, Bechol Drachecha Da'eyu, you should know God in all your travels, in all your ways. Find God everywhere. There are those who think that we have to find God in Torah and in mitzvos. That's where we find God, in the spiritual world. But when we go out to work and we're in the marketplace, that's insignificant. That those are our secular, mundane endeavors. You know, we have to travel sometimes all the way to England or whatever in order to bring home some funds, and that's great. But don't think for one moment, says the Tzanzer Rebbe, that because you're on the road and because you're in the world of finance and interpersonal business connections, that you're not involved in this great, majestic endeavor, this enterprise of creating an Evan Shlema. On the contrary, it's very easy to be in the Beis Medrash and to dedicate yourself to Torah and be absolutely insulated and surrounded by Kedusha, by sanctity, and an aura of holiness, and now to have an Evan Shlema. That's relatively simple. But to go out into the world and face the challenges and elevate all those pitfalls and all those seductive powers of the Yetzer Hara, and elevate that to an Evan Shlema. And here the Tzanzer Rebbe tells us that there are two paradigms amongst the Jewish greats that represent the two approaches, as we said before, to face the Evan of the Yetzer Hara. There's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu's method, says the Gemara in Sota, which you'll see here on the third paragraph on page 2, is Avraham Asa Yetzer Hara L'Tov. He transforms the Yetzer Hara into Tov, into good. And that's why the Pasuk in Tanakh applauds and describes Avraham Avinu as Matzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha. He's got one lave, Avraham Avinu, and it's totally dedicated at every turn to the challenge of transforming the Yetzer Hara, uplifting it to become a Yetzer Tov. That's one paradigm. Now we have a different paradigm. That's David HaMelech. David HaMelech declares in Tehillim, V'libi, my lave is Chalal Bekirbi. It's a kind of an emptiness. What does David HaMelech do when he faces the Yetzer Hara? He's not able to transform and create a Yetzer HaTov out of his Yetzer Hara, but rather Hargo Bilavovo. It's a Chalal, the word Chalal, which also means a vacuum, but it also means a dead corpse. So there's a dead corpse here, and that represents the Yetzer Hara. David HaMelech has to destroy the Yetzer Hara. And if you take a look in the Karbon HaEder, which is the bold print, in the next to the last paragraph on the right column, he says the following, Avram asa Yetzer Hara L'tov, V'af ha-maisim ha-tzrichim taiva gufnis, even physical activities, which are pleasurable. And he gives three examples. He gives eating and drinking and intimacy. In all these areas, Avraham Avinu enjoys this world, but not for the sake of pure pleasure. That's not his ultimate goal. But rather out of a sense, out of a move and inspiration and a motivation of Avas Hashem. And therefore, Matzasas Levavo Neman Lefanecha. He's got one lave, and the lave, Baruch Hashem, is very healthy. And by the way, if somebody, or if you know somebody who had a heart transplant, don't worry about it. It's his lave. Okay? I have a mechutin who's now going on year 13, Baruch Hashem. He has 13 years, he lives on someone else's heart. In any event, lev echad. That's the key phrase is lev echad. Underline that phrase, Rabos, because that's the key to understand this entire presentation. Avraham Avinu represents the ultimate paradigm, an ideal of lev echad. That means even the lev hara, the evil in one's heart, becomes now integrated into a lev tov. And it's one indivisible lev, it's one entity. David HaMelech did not reach the level of Avraham Avinu. He could not transform his Yetzer Hara into Yetzer Tov. The only thing he could do is to slaughter it and destroy it. And he took all the taivas gufnias and he pushed them out of the way. He was marchik himself, and he had tanios and sigufim, which means he had physical afflictions in order to avoid any contact with the pleasures of this world. And there are two madregas of tzaddikim. One madrega, the higher level of a tzaddik, is someone who's able to convert his yetzer hara into yetzer tov. The lower level of a tzaddik is someone who's always involved in this confrontation. He never really successfully defeats the yetzer hara. He can only at the best send it far away, send it into exile. And the greatest level, as we said before, that's the madrega of a tzaddik like Avraham Avinu, that is able to lahafcho, which you'll see five lines above before the end of the column, hafcho gam kein l'tov, to transform the yetzer hara into tov. It often occurred to my mind that when the Mishnah says ezu gibor hakoveshes yitzro, perhaps the Mishnah understood that there were two candidates that were vying for this, what do they call it when they have a boxing match or a wrestling match and they win the title, you know, what's called the international wrestling title, right? Who is the true gibor? And there were two candidates. One candidate say, I'm the gibor, I can take the Yetzer Hara and I can send it away and push it out of my life. There's another candidate who is able to take the Yetzer Hara and dominate the Yetzer Hara, make it part of his being. That's the answer of the Mishnah, Kovesh Es Yisro. That's the ultimate test of a true Gibor. And therefore, when the Torah says, according to the Tzanzer Rebbe, lo yilecha even v'even, but rather strive to have an even shlema, the Torah is telling us that strive for the ideal, the ultimate perfect goal, to take the Yetzer Hara and transform it into part of your personality, to enter into those physical areas of eating, sleeping, enjoying the pleasures of the world, and dedicate them to spirituality, to the fulfillment of the divine will, and to reach the level of a matzasa es levavo neman lefanech of lev echad. And here we go back to Adam HaRishon, and hopefully, if we have time, getting back to Yaakov Avinu. Adam HaRishon takes two avonim. These two stones that God presents him with represent symbolically the two stones of the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. And what does Adam HaRishon do with them? How successful is he going to be? And in the paragraph here in the middle column that starts with the word Me'ata, you will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Motzei Shabbos, the first Motzei Shabbos in the history of man, gives to Avraham Avinu two stones, Me'ein Dugma Shalmala. And this Dugma Shalmala means that you, Adam HaRishon, now have the challenge. It's Motzei Shabbos. It's pitch dark out. You're overwhelmed by the fear of the Nachash HaKadmoni. On this Motzei Shabbos, can you create a light and take the light of Shabbos with you to illuminate your spiritual world? Can you take these two avonim and combine them together to create a new light in the world? Rashi says at the beginning of the Chumash, Lo nasno bo yetzer hara she'ochlu min ha'etz. When they ate Adam and Chava from the Eitz Hadas, the Eitz Hara entered and penetrated into their very being. Until then it was external. And it means that the chait of the Eitz Hadas caused a catastrophic situation in which the Eitz Hara would now penetrate into their very spiritual souls. And that is what's called in the language of Chazal, Zuamas HaNochash. The Nochash, the serpent, represents the paradigm of the Yetzer Hara. And now the Yetzer Hara enters in to man. And that brings a certain darkness into the world. But then comes Shabbos. Shabbos is what's called an Neshama Yisera, an extra spiritual soul that enters in the person. This is going to give a person a tremendous amount of strength and an ability to face the challenges of the Yetzer Hara, so that he can control the Yetzer Hara rather than the opposite. And the Arizal has appeared a song that he created for Leil Shabbos, and in that piyut he talks about the Kedusha Shabbos, and he describes the sanctity of Shabbos as Chamra Tava. Now let's understand, Chamra represents Chomer in modern Hebrew. Chomer means physicality or material structure. That is one element of man, and that's the material element that desires pleasures in this worldly pleasures. However, with Shabbos, there's something called a Chamra Tava. Chamra Tava means all of a sudden the materiality and the physicality becomes Tava. Tava means it becomes a good force. It becomes an energy for spirituality. The power of Shabbos, says the Arizal in this piyut, is that it can take man and give him the ability, through the Neshama Yisera, to enter into all those material, physical challenges and make them into something good. To take the Yetzer Hara and uplift it and transform it into a Yetzer Tov. And Adam HaRishon, when he felt the Yetzer Hara entering into his neshama, he felt a sense of darkness. The Shabbos came, and the Shabbos gave him the opportunity of experiencing the Chamra Tava, of facing the Yetzer Hara with his neshama Yisera, and uplifting his whole being and taking with him the Yetzer Hara. But then came Motzei Shabbos, and now the Neshama Yisera left him and departed, and Istalek Ha'ara Gadol, and now Adam HaRishon is for the first time in his life facing the Yetzer Hara that's within him in a Melchama Kasha, in a very difficult battle. And how is he going to successfully win this battle? So Chazal teach us, and now we're on the left column in the paragraph that starts Megalim Lanu Chachamenu, that on that Motzi Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon a certain day, a spiritual awakening. Me'ein Dug Meshal Mal, he brought him two Avonim, and he challenged Adam HaRishon, take these two stones, one of which represents the Yetzer Tov, the other the Yetzer Ra. And now here's your challenge. Can you succeed in this great test? Take the day that I'm giving you. You've been impacted by the Neshama Yisera of Shabbos. What can you take with you? What spiritual forces and powers can you garnish in order to face this challenge of making these two Avonim, these two stones, into one? And Chazal tell us that in order to do so, Li'olam Yargiz Odom Yetzer HaTov Al Yetzer Ra. This is the difficult task of facing these two stones and seeing if you can be margiz, if you can somehow subjugate the Yetzer Hara and make it part of your being, of one Yetzer. Now at the bottom of this page, he quotes the Zohar. The Zohar is written, as you know, in very difficult Aramaic. But in the last five lines, he gives us a modern translation into Hebrew of the Zohar. The Zohar says, that the greatest light is the light that comes from darkness. The darkness that man faces in this world, in this universe, represents the Sitra Achra. That's the Yetzer Hara that's trying to create barriers and prevent man from reaching spiritual highs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the greatest light in order to banish the darkness of the Sitra Achra is the light that comes from Choshech. Ein lecha tov, ela hayotze mitoch hara. The greatest good is a good that emerges from evil. The paradox of mystical thought and Chassidus is that dafka, the Yetzer Hara, plays a role, a great role, offering man a wonderful, incredible opportunity, if he only succeeds, to create this Evan Shlema that we spoke about, this perfection that's made up of a Lev Echad, which is the product of the unifying, the fusion of the Yetzer Hara with the Yetzer Tov. Therefore, As the Gemara says in Kiddushu, we're now on page 3, the first paragraph, Yitzro shel Adam is gabrol b'chol yom vakesh lamiso. The Yetzer gets powerful and powerful, more powerful every day. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives man the ability to create that aur by taking two stones and rubbing them together and creating light. And therefore, says Shmuel, on every Motzi Shabbos, we will bake the blessing Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh to commemorate the Esh, the light that Adam HaRishon was able to create after his first Shabbos. And Halacha, the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, the best ideal fire for Havdalah is what's called an Avuka. An Avuka means when you take two wicks and each wick has a flame, those two flames merge and they become one. That's called an avuka. Why? What's the significance of an avuka? And the answer is that avuka that we create every Motzi Shabbos is a symbolic representation of the first avuka that was created by Adam HaRishon on Motzi Shabbos. That avuka, which was the light that resulted, that was produced by the combination and the fusion of the two avonim, that's what we want to have penetrated into our heart on every Motzi Shabbos. The Neshama Yisera is leaving us, it's departing. We are overwhelmed by fear as we face the next 6 days until the following Shabbos. We know that the Yetzer is getting more and more powerful by the minute, but take with us the Avuka of the Motzi Shabbos, the Avuka of facing the challenge of this confrontation of the two Avonim and creating this greater entity, which is the Lev Echad, which is the Evan Shlema, which is the absolute integration of two Yitzharim, of two stones, making one entity. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, this is on the bottom right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Barasi Yitzhara, I created the Yitzhara, but I gave you an antidote. I gave you a power with which to face the Yitzhara. Barasi lo Torah tavlin. Im atem oskim b'Torah, ein atem nimsarim b'yado. On Shabbos Kodesh, a person is meant to dedicate himself to Esek HaTorah. Many people, unfortunately, spend Shabbos in what we call a pretzel. I'm not going to go into detail about what that means, but let's just say they sleep off the Shabbos. We are meant to dedicate the Shabbos. We are free of all other obligations. We don't even have a cell phone, and for 24 hours we can dedicate ourselves to Ruchnius, to spirituality, to the study of Torah. That's what the Neshama Yisera gives us, that opportunity to fight the Yetzer Hara. But now we get to Motzi Shabbos, and we are entering into a week of Chol. We don't have that power of the Neshama Yisera, and now there's a great fear that the Yetzer Hara is going to trip us up. So Chazal made a takana, and they instituted the following enactment. The first blessing that you make on Motzi Shabbos is Borei Mi'orei Ha'esh. Remember the Esh that was created on Motzi Shabbos by Adam HaRishon. When Adam HaRishon took these two Avonim, representing symbolically the two Yetzaharas, HaKadosh Baruch wanted to teach him that he can overcome the Yetzara. He can take the Yetzara and integrate it into his whole and the Yetzar HaTov. He can create an R that's going to propel him for the 6 days that are coming around the bend. Leave the Nachash behind. Don't worry about the Nachash. Just worry about the ability to successfully win this battle, this confrontation, and create that Esh that represents the fusion, the Lev Echad, and the Evan Shlema. And if this be the case, then perhaps we can go back to Yaakov Avinu that we started with. This is on the bottom of the middle column on page 3. Two stones are fighting over Yaakov Avinu. What do these stones represent? Why are they significant? And why does each one say, Olai Yonuach HaTzadik Es Rosho? If we say the following, again, this is a little bit of Kabbalistic thought, you'll take it at any level you like, and this is the famous Zohar, that Yaakov Avinu is a Gilgal Neshama of Adam HaRishon. Where Adam HaRishon failed, Yaakov Avinu is meant to make a tikkun to rectify and succeed. You'll see this on the bottom of the middle column on page 3. Yaakov Dugma the Adam Arishan Hava. The Zohar claims that Yaakov Avinu is Shufraya. Shufraya is the beauty of Yaakov Avinu. He had Me'ain, the beauty of Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan, according to Chazal, was a perfect being, so to speak. He was beautiful. The Malachi Asharis wanted to worship him. And now Yaakov Avinu comes with that beauty of Adam Arishan. He reflects the radiance and the countenance of Adam Arishan. And now we're up on the left column here of page 3. That the story about the two Avanim that are battling over Yaakov Avinu has deeper meaning to it. It's more profound and symbolic. There are in fact two Avanim, right? We saw at the beginning of the parasha, it says, Vayikach me avne amokom, and ein ribu yelashtayim. The minimum of a plural is always the number two. So there are two Avanim here. And these two Avanim are coming to greet, so to speak, to encounter Yaakov Avinu at what crossroads, at what point in Yaakov Avinu's life? A very important crossroads. Until now, Yaakov Avinu is the base of Aviv. And now he's going into the base of Shalavan Arosha. He's leaving the environs of Shabbos, of Yetzer HaTov, of the Eben HaGdola, and he's entering into the environs of Alavan HaRosha, the Eben HaKtana, the Eben of Yetzer Hara. And Yaakov Avinu is overwhelmed by fear. How can he leave his father's house and enter into Beis Lavan? And the truth be told, that Yaakov Avinu is Shufraya de Yaakov, as we saw in the Zohar. He's perfect. He goes into the Beis Lavan. He is totally dedicated to the mitzvahs in Lavan Garti, Vitaik Mitzvah Shamarti. He will marry the four women, but the two women who are the most of Klal Yisrael, Leah and Rachel, Rachel and Leah, he will produce at the Beis Lavan, Yud Beis Shvatim, Knesset Yisrael, Mitaso Shlema, all this Shlemos, despite the fact that he's in an environment that's totally antithetic, totally negative, the environment of a Beis Lavan. And therefore, at this point, Yaakov Avinu is on his way to a Beis Lavan, and he vacillates. What method should I avail myself of? What should be my agenda, my goal, going into Beis Lavan? There are two possible answers. There's the David HaMelech approach of Libi Chalal B'Kirbi, of somehow rejecting all those influences, dispelling them and banishing them, send them into exile. And then there's the approach of Avram Avinu, of Umatzasa Es Levavo Neman Lefanecha Lafoch Es Yetzer Ra L'Yetzer HaTov. And here, Yaakov Avinu is perplexed. Can he reach the level of Levavo Neman, of Lev Echad, of Evan Shlema? And therefore, Vayikach Me'avne HaMokom. He takes two stones, each one representing a different Yetzer. And the Torah emphasizes that these Avonim were not just regular Avonim. They were Avne HaMakom. Does anybody know what the word Makom means? Don't give me a little translation.
Hashem.
Hashem. Hashem is called the Makomo Shel Olam. I gave a whole shiur about this earlier in Canada. No, I wasn't in Canada, but I was spiritually in Canada. In any event, thank God for Skype when it works. Anyway, so what do we say on the Haggadah Shel Pesach? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed be God, he's called the Makom. He's the one who protects us. He's the makom in which we live. He gives us sustenance. We stand in his makom. He gives us stature. Vayosem erashosav. He takes these two stones and he puts them under his head. Hichnis berosho. He puts these stones into his head, so to speak. Symbolically, this means he now has two stones in his head. One representing the Yetzer HaTov and the other Yetzer HaRa. And he tries to figure out what's going to happen with these two stones. And hischilu merivos zuesu. One stone, the Yetzer HaTov, says, you know what? Ola yoniach rosho tzadik, tzadikas rosho. You know what? I'm going to support the head of Yaakov Avinu. And if anybody tries to contend and confront me, if there's another Evan, I'll reject that Evan. It's going to be the approach of David HaMelech. That's a very appropriate song for us, by the way. But I'm not going to dash it on it right now. V'zoso meres The second Evan, which is the Evan that represents the Yetzer Hara, says, "All Ayaniach Rosho." Listen to the amazing chiddush here of what the Yetzer Hara is saying here. Olai Yaniach Rosho. HaYetzer Hara Omer, what's his taina? Olai Yaniach Tzadik Es Rosho. Lachshov Machshovos, let me enter into the brain, into the psyche, into the soul of Yaakov Avinu, and he'll think and he'll contemplate. Eich Lafoch Osi L'Tov. That Evan that represents the Yetzer Hara wants to cry out, I also want to be part of the integration. I also want to be uplifted and integrated into the soul of Yaakov Avinu. Say Chazal, and we saw it in Rashi at the beginning of our parasha. Miyad Ason Hakadosh Baruch Hu Evan Achas. Miraculously, Yaakov Avinu wakes up, and it's one stone, the Evan Achas, which is the Lev Echad, which is the Evan Shlema, which is the integration. Hashem decided in this confrontation, let's integrate the two. Let's take the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov and form an Evan Achas and fulfill the command of the Torah, Lo Yelecha Evan Shlema Evan VeYevan, but rather Evan Shlema Yelecha, let it be one perfect Evan. And this, my friends, is going to teach us something about the Evan Shasia, because as you know, in this battle between the two Avonim, in which God miraculously fused them to make one Evan, and that one Evan represents the Or Gadol, that tremendous light of the Avuka that Adam HaRishon created on Motzei Shabbos, and that we recite a bracha on every single Motzei Shabbos to commemorate that great light, which is the integration of the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. And now Yaakov takes that Evan, that one single miraculous Evan that was given to him as a gift from the Divine Being, and he designates it for the Beis HaMikdash, and he declares, moving on to page 4, Va'evan azosa shosamti matseva yeh Beis Elokim. Let this Evan be the Beis Elokim. What is the Beis Elokim? In the Kodshei Kadoshim, we're talking about the Evan Shasia, which is the foundation on which the Aron stood. The Aron representing Torah, Hashem says that I will give you with this Evan a connection between that which goes on down here in this world and the upper worlds. You know, the Migdash Shalmala, which is Mechuvan Kenegin, the Migdash Shalmala, Shalmata. And what is this all about? The Rambam writes in his introduction to the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, Mitzvah Saseh Lasos Bayis Lashem Muchan Lios Makrivim Bo Karbonos. According to the Rambam, the essential sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash is to bring Karbonos. The purpose of the Karbon is to be Mechapra on Chet. Yaakov Avinu wants to set up the Evan Shasiya, the Kodesh Kodashim, because that Evan gives us a whole new approach to Chet, to sin, to the Yetzer Hara. That Evan is a symbolic transmission of the message that the Yetzer Hara could become integrated into one stone. It could become a Yetzer Tov. And if a person sins, then let him bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, and let that carbon represent that if I sinned in the past, then I want a kapara kodesh baruch, because now the sin and its power and its force will propel me forward to serve you, Hashem. I sinned. I have confessed my sin. I went through all the stages of tshuva. I had charata and I had kabbalah la'asid, and now I'm bringing my karmon and I'm coming into the Beis HaMikdash. And when I'm saying to you, God, I'm coming into the Beis HaMikdash because that chet has propelled me towards you. This is again that paradoxical concept that sometimes the Yetzer Hara, if we respond to it in tune, it could, even if we fail, it could project us forward. A tzaddik will fall 7 times, but he'll get up afterwards and dedicate himself and rededicate himself to Hashem. That's the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash gives us an opportunity, if we've broken the relationship between ourselves and God, if that marriage and close intimacy of dveikus has now been impaired, we still have a possibility to come back to Hashem. The Evan Shasia is yelling and screaming at us and telling us that I, the Evan Shasia, am in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And who am I? The Evan Shasia is telling you, if you want to know my true identity, I and the Yetzer Hara as well. I'm not just the Yetzer Tov. The Eved Shasiyah is made up of two Avonim that fuse together, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. And the remnants here, the message that's being transmitted to the Chote who comes into the Beis HaMikdash and he sees the beauty of the Eved Shasiyah, is that he still has the opportunity to take the Yetzer Hara, and if he fell prey to the Yetzer Hara in the past, let him understand that in the future he can do better, and he can convert and transform the Yetzer Tov. He can uplift the Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara, meant to say, and have it as a Yetzer Tov. This is what Yaakov Avinu was teaching us at that very critical moment at the crossroads when he declared, "Va'even azos asher samti matseva yia beis elokim." Let this even, which represents the integration of the Yetzer Hara into the essence of the Yetzer Tov. One Evan, which I wake up and all of a sudden it's no longer Avnei Amokom, but it's Ha'Evan Azos. Let this be the eternal message of optimism that's going to be transmitted to Klal Yisrael through the Beis HaMikdash, that we can serve Hashem not only with the Yetzer Hara, not only with the Yetzer Tov, but also the Yetzer Hara, excuse me. And as you'll see here in the bottom of the middle column, the famous Gemara Brachos, the Drasha of Nachman, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim. Why does God create man with two yuds? Vayitzar has two yuds in it. These are the two yitzarim. The word, the yud represents yitzar, the double yud represents the two yitzarim. God creates man with two yitzarim, and both are meant to combine and integrate for the service of Hashem. This is the ultimate level of man facing the challenges of the Yetzer Hara. Yahavtes Hashem Elokecha on the top left, Bechol Levavcha, B'shnei Levavecha. Serve Hashem with both. Find ways of experiences which could lead you down the wrong, Chas Shalom, down the wrong path, to invigorate you, to energize you. You know, you come in contact with people who will dedicate themselves to the pleasures of life. Learn from them. Learn from them. Imitate them. See how you can rechannel those same energies and use them for a tshuka, for a desire and a taiva to serve Hashem. People who are not interested in Torah study, chas v'shalom. They're interested in all sorts of frivolities and all sorts of vacations, and all they care about is going out and enjoying life. Learn from them. Take that energy force. Take the tshuka that people have, the love and the craving for all sorts of things in this world, and rechannel them. Rededicate those very same energies. Use the Yetzer Hara for your purposes and fulfill Yaakov Avinu's wish and his legacy for all of us as Bnei Yaakov. Ha'Evan Azos Asher Samti Matseva Yia Beis Elokim Kedi Ratzon.
So this is a huge support for the base of Navi, or in the base of Beit HaMikdash, for not permitting any altars other than what's.
You mean that if it's a stone made of one single stone, and that was used for the idol worshippers, is that what you're talking about? That
yeah,
we don't want to use that.
Here, mitzvah say lasot Beit Hashem Ruchan Leyot Makridim Bo Karbanot. You can't. That's why when the Beit HaMikdash exists, Karbanot anywhere else are not permitted.
Oh, I see.
Only because of this stone, which represents this whole process that we talked about.
So we want to reject any sort of bama, it's called a bama, a personal altar, a private altar. Okay, Rabosa, I'm going to have to stop here, but I really want to